Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Time to join a professor of sacred arts at the Theological Faculty of Central Italy based in Florence. His name is Monsignor Timothy Verdon, and I've asked him to speak to us of Caravaggio's artistic masterpiece depicting, well, you may have guessed, the conversion of St. Paul. And Paul is lying on the ground as a horse sort of cavalcading.
It is one of the great interpretations of the interior life. If, with a little bit of art historical research, one reminds oneself that the kind of treatment of that same theme that Caravaggio would have known, the way artists a little bit older than he had treated it in the preceding 20, 30 years, was Cecil B. DeMille, with dozens of servants, with rearing horses, with light plunging down from heaven, Paul thrown violently from the horse. I mean, these were extremely dramatic interpretations of what the Acts of the Apostles, the other Pauline text, the Pauline text that where he describes this a bit, really talk about in much more restrained terms. Caravaggio, with an extraordinary capacity for spiritual listening, for a kind of interiority, removes all of those figures. What I'm saying is that his contemporaries would have expected to find at least 10 figures in such a scene. In Caravaggio, there are two or three or perhaps four. Paul and the servant, the horse, and then the light, which rains down from heaven. Paul struck blind, Paul on the ground, opens his arms in the posture of the cross. Paul, who later will say that he has been crucified with Christ, that where Greeks look for wisdom and Jews want miracles, he, Paul, has only one theme in his preaching, and that is Christ crucified. Paul here already adopts the pose that will become the meaning of his life. And so, wrapped in the light of Christ, and completely alone, the horse turns his haunches to Paul. The servant similarly turns away, does not really look on with any particular curiosity. Paul, all alone with Christ, already assumes the figura Christi, the shape of Christ's truth.
Caravaggio tried to draw us in, didn't he? His idea as an artist was to draw us into what's actually happening, no?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. The brilliant use of foreshortening in the supine figure of St. Paul, but then also in the horse, is meant to situate the viewer practically just a few feet away. Even if you're standing 20 feet away or simply looking at a photograph, you have the impression that you're right there, that with one step you could be in the same space. Caravaggio often does that. There's a famous depiction of the Supper at Emmaus, the earlier of Caravaggio's two versions of that theme, the one in London, where you feel that you are right at the other side of the table. You see the two disciples at right and left, Christ on the far side of the table, and your impression is that you're on fourth side of the table.
So in a sense, in Caravaggio, you get the word of God really coming at you.
The Word of God invades your space. The Word of God does not leave you in peace. Right. You have to become part of this story. You can't remain neutral.
It's like a theater set, in a sense.
It is strongly theatrical. Caravaggio is from North Italy, is from Lombardy. And one of the innovations in religious art that had developed really in his own childhood was a kind of highly theatrical presentation of the events from the life of Christ. Really tableau, they're not quite vivant, that tableau, sculpted tableau, arranged in chapels on a mountainside. The most famous one, the one that Caravaggio himself could have seen, is at a place called Varallo, where now there are something like 40 of these chapels in the woods on the hillside. You approach the chapel, you kneel at a prie-dieu, at the entrance to the chapel, and you look through a grating, and you see groups of life-size, realistically modeled and colored statues, some of them with real hair and actual cloth clothing, acting out the Nativity, acting out the Sermon on the Mount, acting out the crucifixion. The crucifixion scene must have as many as 60 life-size realistic figures against a painted backdrop. It was like a film in which instead of seeing the pictures move in front of you, you moved to the pictures. But you always saw them as you knelt at the grating that allowed you to look into this chapel. And so you were always just there, just outside the space. You were practically in the event itself. And that's what Caravaggio does in his painting.
You were listening there to a professor of sacred arts at the Theological Faculty of Central Italy, based in Florence. His name is Monsignor Timothy Verdon. Warm thanks to him for sharing with us his expertise. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.